going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea. Exactly 14 days, 2 weeks from the 2015 NFL Draft, the draft that will see the Browns have 2 first-round picks, 10 picks in all. And our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day is about the draft. Number one, what do you want the Browns to do? And here are your choices. Number one, move up and get the number one player on your board. Move down and collect additional picks, or stand pat and take the best players available at 12 and 19. Also today, Mel Kiper played GM for every team on ESPN.com and tells us who he would take if he were that team's GM and what would ultimately get an A grade. Here's what he had for the Browns, Matt Wilhelm. At number 12, he takes Danny Shelton out of Washington, the nose tackle that we've been talking so much about. What a great fit he would be for Jim O'Neill and Mike Pettine's defense here. Number two, he has at 19 them going running back Todd Gurley. He says he's a top 10 player on the board, the best running back in the draft. If it were the olden days, he'd be a top 3 pick in this draft. Todd Gurley, and we'll talk about all of these in a second. Then at 43, wide receiver Devin Smith compared to a young Mike Wallace. A lot of speed on the outside, can open up, stretch the field for the Browns. And then round 3, pick 77, quarterback Brett Hundley. Guy who's got all the physical tools, a good arm. He's not ready to start as a rookie, but he's got a guy who can come in and compete with Johnny Manziel and do a lot of the things that Johnny does coming from that spread system at UCLA.
Sir, I mean, my first impressions are, and I know you and I agree on this, based on our 2.0 mock drafts, is we love Danny Shelton at 12, and I think that's a great pick. That's a solid pick, and I wouldn't even throw the word safe. That's just a solid overall pick for addressing one of this team's most significant needs going into this draft and coming out of free agency. Not in love with the Gurley pick. It makes sense to a certain extent as to why a guy like Mel Kiper would link us to what he feels is the best running back in this draft and a top 10 player, because he understands also too the mentality of Mike Pettine as the head football coach of this team and what is going to be asked of the running game and the portion of that it will play in our success from week to week in the National Football League, especially in our division. So going running back and getting a talented running back there, even though we have two, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, I can understand why he's coming from that perspective. I don't like it because I think we can address another significant need in the first round that gives us an immediate impact. I like the Devin Smith. It makes a lot of sense. You get young legs. You get a guy with a significant amount of upside who had his best football season as a senior at Ohio State. You know, led them in touchdowns, big play guy. And I think with him, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, they're all just a little bit different, which gives you a diverse group of wide receivers. And then the Hundley pick, I don't mind the Hundley pick. My only thought when it comes to Brent Hundley is I don't believe in round 3 at 77 that Brent Hundley is going to be on the board.
I think he could go in the first round.
I think he might go in the first round. I think he's a lock to go in the second round because somebody with who's in a similar situation to Cleveland is going to create the urgency for them and go up and move up and take Hundley a little bit higher, you know, than he probably should have gone. But they're also too basing it maybe. That a lot of people had him as a top 10, top 15 pick in last year's draft. He just happened to come back to school and didn't have the type of year similar to Matt Barkley. So he's dropping. But since people have gotten more eyes on him outside of UCLA in his workouts at the combine, he's shooting up those draft boards, closing the gap from him, from Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston to be that lock third quarterback in this draft.
He's at least, in my opinion, he's a guy that has all the tools. He looked very good on the sports science. You know, he's got a lot of gifts, Brett Hundley.
He does.
So we'll see how that ultimately plays out. But I agree with you. I don't think there's any chance he's there. I don't think there's any chance he's there in the third round. I think
somebody's going to get desperate enough or outside the box of thinking to grab a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. He's my Jimmy Garoppolo. A team like Seattle with Russell Wilson, who they're about to pay a lot of money to, you know, and maybe a funky contract, they draft a Brent Hundley, you know, as a security blanket to have, you know, no Terrell Pryor, Tavarius Jackson, Matt Flynn backing up their franchise quarterback.
I think he goes. I think the Browns want him. He's got to be there at 43, but he could even go before that. I think you're right about it. So we're talking about, again, what's happening with this Mel Kiper draft. And the pick that stands out to me is Todd Gurley. I would never take a running back in the first round, ever.
State that again.
I will never, ever.
Would you ever move up to get a running
never.
Back?
Never. I would never sign a running back to a second contract. I would never move up at all. None. Zero. No way. You can reload that position. And Mel Kiper said he would never do that. In fact, Todd McShay grades Mel Kiper's draft and his number one worst pick in the whole draft, Todd Gurley at 19 to the Cleveland Browns. And he said, listen, I think he's a great prospect. It's a not a knock on him. But what's the point of this? What's the point of having the rule Mel Kiper and then breaking it? And let me tell you this. I'm fine with Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West. I feel like the Browns are in good spot, shape at running back. I think you're seeing around the league the running back is about the system. It's about the line. And you need talent. But I think Crow and West have talent.
I believe they do.
Don't want to race but I don't want to spend a first-round pick on them.
No. And also, too, you have to go into this training camp with Crowell and Terrence West, as you said, is looking good on social media, working out, looking lean, getting ready to be the guy, as we spoke a couple of days ago about Terrence West in this upcoming football season. Is you go draft a guy in 17, you immediately have to play Todd Gurley. He has to be your starter. And that discounts what Isaiah Crowell did last year and the budding star that a lot of people in this building believe he can be, Ray Farmer, Wilbert Montgomery. And also, too, what I love about the West-Crowell combination is they're both young. They're both budding stars in the National Football League. They both are very good at different things. They're not the same runner.
And we haven't even seen them get an opportunity to catch the ball, which I know they're both good at.
Yes. I think the Gurley pick to me is outlandish.
I wouldn't want it.
No,
I wouldn't want
it. It's not. And I think that it's, for me, the place that Gurley might end up is in Dallas.
He could go to Dallas, Melvin.
San Diego.
Baltimore.
San Diego, Baltimore.
San Diego. Yes. Yeah, there are some good teams out there that need running back.
Right around that 19 position, but it doesn't make any sense for us. But that also, too, but to wrap up and put a bow in that running back position, I wouldn't be surprised if someone is cut at some point in training camp at the running back position that we would sign on a one-year deal to bring in some veteran leadership accountability into that room, so we're not solely relying, and I'm not saying they're not capable, we're not solely relying on Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell to be the experienced running backs in that room.
And I think that's fine. I just don't think you need to add Todd Gurley there. I think that the Browns are in great shape, and I think that at running back, that's one of the positions I feel the best about. In fact, I talked with Wilbert Montgomery earlier today. Wilbert Montgomery, of course, the Browns running backs coach. And he's excited to see what these guys do in year two. He said to go from year one to year two for running back is a massive difference, especially that scheme last year was a little complicated for running back, even though it's a zone scheme. It's about timing and patience, and they had to think a lot. This year, they're going to be able to kind of get up in there. You're going to run more inside zone where they can just kind of get up there, hit the hole, one cut, and go. A little more power.
Absolutely. And the one other thing that was reassuring for me personally, you know, as a defensive guy, watching those young running backs when they were given a full-time opportunity was – I thought they were a little ahead of the learning curve when it came to pass protection. Now, they weren't perfect. You know, and the one that sticks out in our mind is when Terrence West protected that blind side and came out of nowhere. Was it against Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay set up the touchdown Tampa pass Bay, to Taylor Gabriel.
Exactly. So they were a little ahead of the curve. And I think the great thing about this is when you give them the keys to the house or you give them the keys to the car, they're going to grasp those and you can give them more. That means more intricate understanding of pass protection and not only where or who they protect, but why they're doing it. And that understands the role of all 11 guys on offense. And when you have guys doing that on both sides of the football is when you actually move forward as a team and you start winning football games because you're playing as a unit instead of a bunch of individuals who know their job but don't know the rhyme or reason of how it fits into the scheme.
And that's why it's important to have that continuity. I don't think you need to bring in rookie running backs. That's where they struggle typically in pass pro. You're going to have two guys now here in their second system working with the same running back coach, the same offensive line coach. So the same protection schemes, I think, will be in place there. I don't like that pick. Devin Smith, I want a bigger receiver than Devin Smith. Yep. But if he can come out and be like Mike Wallace and stretch the field, I think that helps the team and fills that role. You've got bigger receivers now. But Devin Smith's a guy with a lot of talent who can absolutely get vertical.
Do we know, or if we can throughout this show, where does he have Devin Funchess going? Or to who? Because that's the one that intrigues me. Does he have Devin Funchess going in front of Devin Smith. So he's off the board when the Cleveland Browns select at 43rd overall.
Trying to see. Let's see. Mel Kiper. He does it by team.
Right. That's what I meant. So it's something we can grab in a break or something. But that's the one thing that's interesting to me, because that hybrid position, and even still, and Devin Funchess is no slouch. He's going to run a 4.5, and he can, you know, has a 40-inch vertical. We saw what he could do, you know, with a basketball in his hands on a court and the way he performed at the combine. But he's another fresh young legs who runs strategic routes around Bo, Hawkins, and Hartline that brings a different feel than all three of those guys. Just like Devin Smith, he's the burner. He's going deep. That's his role. Funchess, you can run, you know, the back shoulder throws, the basketball throws, the hybrid throws, as we said, lining him up in the slot, running Jordan Cameron-ish type of routes, but he's going to be faster and more athletic in and out of those breaks and go up and get the football.
I mean, Mel Kiper has got, Mel Kiper's got four receivers going before the Browns pick at number 12.
Wow.
Rashad Perriman being 11. Surprised, going seven.
Oh, seven.
To
Who's
Chicago.
He got going to Minnesota?
Nobody to Minnesota at 10. He's got Devontae Parker going there.
To the Rams.
He has Doriel Green Beckham going pick 45 in the second round. I think Doriel Green Beckham is the best receiver in this draft.
So,
the Browns
again, that's the Browns passing him at 43.
Yeah, I would like that. He has Nelson Agholor, who I know is a riser, going
USC,
14th
right?
overall to Miami.
What?
This is what I'm telling you. Funchess goes 48th, so second round San Diego. We would be passing up on Funchess and Doriel Green Beckham. You cannot pass on Doriel Green Beckham in the second round. I know that we've had our problems with wide receivers, and I know that Josh Gordon, you know, that situation weighs heavy. But if you, I mean,
is Doriel Green Beckham your this year's Pierre Desir?
He's so much better. He's not from a small school. He's a guy who got in trouble. That's why he's not a top pick in the draft. So Doriel Green Beckham is size, speed combination of Calvin Johnson. He's raw in terms of route running, but if he can develop that physically, he's a mismatch every time he's on the field. He's got to be a pretty serious he is the most talented wide receiver in this draft. Take it with the second round, why not?
But that's the same thing. I mean, listening to Todd McShay yesterday talking about the wide receiver group and more so the top-tier guys, comparing Kevin White to Amari Cooper, you know, he knocks Kevin White because he really had one solid year, and he overpowered people with his athleticism. He's not that great in and out of breaks. He's just big, fast, and physical. But then he talked about Amari Cooper, and he literally rattled off everything that Torrey Holt was throughout his entire career. A lot like Marvin Harrison, you know, precise, efficient, goes up and gets the ball, you know, I mean, just runs all the routes and, you know, goes across the middle, all those great things, and which is why Amari Cooper, to me, has re-emerged as the top wide receiver in this draft.
So when I study wide receivers, and that's a position that I really like to watch tape on, you look at how they run their routes, that's important. But Jared Aberderis is one of the great route runners, probably the best route runner in the draft last year. But you still have to have the physical skills. That's why Cooper has the skills.
Right.
He's got the athletic ability, and he runs those great
routes.
And
he's a hard worker.
But you also want to project guys who can improve their route running and have the skills. Green Beckham's got that. Kevin White has got that. Devontae Parker has got that. So it's an interesting mix of what you're doing. Remember, you don't necessarily always want guys who are finished products. Because then where's their ceiling?
Right. Correct. And let me ask you this question about Devontae Parker, who, of course, we would love to grab at 12 if he's available. Do you think that he is the number one overall, maybe not the most talented, like you said, Doriel Green Beckham, but he's the number one wide receiver if he played a full season last year?
I don't know about that. I think he's kind of he's in the mix. I think Doriel Green Beckham has the opportunity to be the best pro, all of them, because nobody else here is 6'5 and has that size and that speed. So to me, he's the number one guy. Devontae Parker, though, is in that, you know, that top three. I think if he played a full season, he'd be considered a sexier pick with more upside
more
than Amari Cooper.
Too. Yeah.
Because Amari Cooper is just – Amari Cooper is a professional.
Polished.
And he's super solid, and he is polished. And he does have the athleticism, so he can even improve in the NFL. But he doesn't have what Devontae Parker can have or, I think, what Kevin White can have. Still, Amari Cooper, I think – I would say that Devontae Parker and Kevin White both have higher ceilings than Amari Cooper, but they both have lower floors than Amari Cooper.
Yes,
Amari Cooper is a very safe
pick
in this draft. 216-578-0850. That's what Mel Kiper said. What do you say? What do you want the Browns to do? Move up and get the number one player on their board. You want to move down, collect additional picks, stand pat, and take the best players available at 12 and 19. And I actually got this question on Twitter. Actually, it was responses to something I responded to. Somebody was asked, you know, where would Teddy Bridgewater rank in this year's quarterback class? Number one, I like him way better than Jameis Winston, and I like him
just like last year,
better
baby.
Than Mariota. I would have taken him one. I would have taken him one overall last year.
I agree.
Yeah.
Teddy.
Theodore.
Maybe we'll catch him on the second contract.
Yeah. Theodore is never leaving. I remember when I ran to Norv Turner, he was giddy at the combine, and it upset me. It annoyed me. All right. 216-578-0850. Still want to talk uniforms? Obviously, we will talk uniforms. If you want to call in, let us know your favorite combination, but we want to talk draft. 2 weeks away now, 14 days, 10 picks for the Browns in Chicago, the Windy City.